Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It's good to be together in the praise of God this morning. Welcome to those who are here this morning, but also welcome to those who will be listening or watching at another time. We are glad that we're able to share together in this way. We continue this morning in the season of Easter and looking at another of the appearances of the risen Jesus to this time to two of his followers as they walk along life's journey to a little village. And so our first song that we'll have this morning again picks up on Easter. We sang it on Easter Day and we'll sing that again this morning. First of all, from Psalm 116. The Lord is gracious and merciful and hears me when I call. The Lord has been good to me. The Lord has delivered my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. Then come with thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. We continue to worship God as we sing. And I invite you to stand as we do so. Dulcet tones of me last week, so that is great to have you leading us again. Let us pray. Holy God, awesome in beauty and love, mercifully look upon us. In one glance, you see our complete lives, not strung along a timeline like a film, but fully present with us in every moment. You see us giving our best and giving our worst. Our enthusiasm and our waning, our courage and our fear, our cleverness and those times where we are anything but clever. You see the love we have shared and the love that we have withheld, the happiness that we have spread and the pain that we have caused. In one holy glance, you see it all. And in that glance, you encompass us. We turn our minds and affections towards you for forgiveness, for restoration and encouragement. Thank you, most holy God, that you are not put off by our checkered lives. We thank you for Christ Jesus, who came among us shining with truth and grace. We thank you for the consistent love with which he lived, the outpouring of love with which he died, and the inspiring love with which he rose from the dead and lives on in the presence of his disciples. In him you visit and redeem your people. Holy God, we thank you and praise you and worship you. With Christ as our sure guide and as our Saviour, may we live to the glory of your name now and forevermore. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, we hear that if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. All this is from God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends. And so we're able to know the forgiveness of God, and we say, thanks be to God. And through that, we're able to know God's peace, and indeed to be able to share that peace with each other. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. We stand to sing God is Love, our next hymn for today, and then we'll hear some things of our life together through announcements and some other things of our community. God is Love.
Sing before him and exalt him with one voice. please have a good look at those prayer points on the order of service this week. There are some very crucial things that we need to be joining together in prayer about. Especially have a look at the Destiny Rescue one. Matt Whittaker has sent us a particular request. But the most important message, of course, is a reminder that a second memorial service following the one in Sydney for Sylvia Anderson will be held here this Thursday, 23rd of April at 11 a.m. We so appreciate the thoughtfulness of the family in organising this second service for us, where Sylvia has been such a part of our church family for so long. If you know anyone who needs transport and you're able to provide it, please offer to do so. Just let's make sure that everyone who needs it has the opportunity to come. The collections for this year's Lent event will be closing after next week, so please, if you haven't done so already, do put in your donation in an envelope marked Lent Appeal 2026, or take a copy of the credit card details. A little reminder, from Thursday for about 4 days, I think, Juana and friends have got an art exhibition on at the Botanic Gardens. It was in the latest Reflections, so look up the details, and if you have time to go and see that, I'm sure it'll be a really delightful display. Now, don't forget that on the 24th of May this time, usually there we have concerts in July, but this year we are having the Best of the Con in May, and tickets will start to become available in the next fortnight.
I spoke with Sylvia's daughters, Debbie and Heather, on Friday on the phone, and the service on the 16th went very well in Sydney. They were really saying how much they appreciate what happened there, and we look forward to the time that we will share together on Thursday. Also caught up with Margot on Monday morning in hospital, and she continues very much in her recuperation mode. Still a lot in front of Margot yet in her recovering from her stroke, and a lot of things happening for her. Please continue your prayers for her and for Justin and Scott as well, her two sons. Music Lovers on Thursday. Bit of an opportunity just to share anything about Music Lovers on Thursday. Oh, I might have that mic ready. Thanks, Andrew. So any thoughts about Music Lovers for those who are here on Thursday at all for the Dexterous Digits duo, Cassandra and James? Any thoughts? I thought it was actually a brilliant selection. Really, when they were here last year, I thought this was just an excellent selection of pieces that they shared. I'll keep that for next week. And really excited just to mention this next thing that's happening next Sunday here. I'm super excited to say that we'll be baptized here next Sunday morning. I'll say a little bit more about that next week, but we've been meeting together for quite some time now, both, just sort of catching up, but also more particularly looking at Christian faith and doing learning. The learning's been two-way, I've got to say, just in our conversation together. And we're looking forward to that so much next week. And as I said, a little bit excited about that. I should have mentioned this. So I'll say a little bit more about this in the message shortly, but Rosemary and I have been having a bit of a conversation from time to time, particularly about just doing a bit of a trial of some Introduction to Christian Faith courses. There's a few around, and just been looking at various ones and some that we might run here, and just do a bit of a trial on a few just amongst us. And It'll need about four or five people to do a bit of a trial. It'll be doing some looking at the Christian faith, but there'll also be some food as part of that. We'll just trial that as well, how that goes. And so I've got a sheet down here, strategically placed close to Charbar. And there's opportunity to put your name and whether day or night suits you. Okay, and just best contact. So four or five people would be really great to have together. We'll just do a bit of a trial run and see what works, what doesn't, how it goes, and that sort of thing. So great. Let's hear from the Gospel now, from Luke chapter 24. And I'll just say a prayer before we do that. Come on forward, Dawn. Just ready here. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures and particularly for the gospel that we are about to hear, and help us in our understanding, help us in our recognition of the Christ who comes in our midst, but also not simply in our understanding, but also in what that means for us as we seek to live lives of service to you, in the name of Christ. Amen. Luke 24.
This is the passage 13, verses 13 to 35, called the Walk to Emmaus. On that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. And they saw him, but somehow did not recognize him.
"What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?"
They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have been happening there these last few days?"
"What things?"
"The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth. This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since it happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but couldn't find his body. And they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him."
"How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophet said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?"
And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they held him back, saying, "Stay with us. The day is almost over and it's getting dark." So he went in to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, "Wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." The to then explain to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognised the Lord when he broke the bread. May God bless the meaning of that episode to all of us. Amen.
Tell out my soul. And one of the reasons that I looked at this one was, again, it's from this Mary. Mary's the Magnificat. So when Mary is told that she will have a child and outpours this, and it picks up on this sense of what God was doing across history with God's people, and that this was a fulfillment of that. And we pick up a little bit about that in this reading of how Jesus explains to them from the prophets and Moses that this is a continuation of what God was doing. And this hymn picks up on that as Mary proclaims this in her song, "Tell Out My Soul." Please be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Three things I want to look at in this passage this morning, and with these three things to reflect on, this traveling companion, that hope's reframed, and the significance of table hospitality. These two followers of Jesus, Cleopas and his companion, are walking along the road to Emmaus, and they're on this journey. And as they go, they're not sure what to make of what's taken place in Jerusalem over the last few days, and they're having conversation with each other. And the risen Jesus joins them on that journey. But they do not recognize him. In fact, it's said that they are kept from recognizing him. And then later on, when we get to the breaking of the bread, it says their eyes were opened. It's not something that they did, but their eyes were opened for them, in a sense. And this is not just an idle chat that they're talking about as they walk along. And certainly when Jesus joins them, it's not just talking about how things are going with each other and whatever. It's the conversation turns to the ultimate things of life and faith. Jesus listens. Jesus helps their understanding of the scriptures and of God's big picture. And there's this reassurance that comes to us of the presence of Christ on our journey. And this encouragement to learn to be alert to that presence of Christ as he joins us. Now, the resurrection appearances that we hear, and next week we'll hear of Jesus meeting with Simon Peter and the other disciples on the shore of a lake. That happens a little while after the Easter day as well. And as we look at each of these appearances, Jesus is known in a variety of ways as he appears to his followers. We find out next week that it's as the disciples are fishing, they're off from the shore, and this stranger is back on around a campfire and calls out to them, throw your net on the other side because they haven't caught any fish. And suddenly they have this big haul of fish, and Simon goes, I know who that is. It's in Jesus' voice that he calls out to them, as it was with Mary at that first Easter morning. Jesus is known to her as he calls her name. That's how he is known to her. Jesus, but then there's also the case we heard last week with Thomas and the disciples. Jesus is there and they know him straight away. But here, as he walks to Emmaus with these two followers of his, he's not known to them until he breaks bread with them. So there's this variety of ways in the resurrection appearance of Jesus as he becomes known to them. And there's a great significance in this journey, and Jesus' listening and his explanation of the scriptures, that clearly there's something very significant happening here, but the knowing comes later. Jesus is this traveling companion, not just for those two on their way to Emmaus, but indeed for us. As they walk along, they are downcast. It tells us that they are downcast, that their hope has not been realized. They put so much hope in this Jesus, and they explain to this person who comes and joins them how much hope they had in Jesus. There is a glimmer of hope as they've heard this rumor that some of the followers of Jesus, and particularly the women, have seen him, and they're not quite sure what to make of that. But they are so saddened, they're so troubled, and they're downcast. Jesus explains the scriptures, starting with Moses and the prophets, and says to them, they're all about me. In essence, that's what he says to them. The scriptures, because the scriptures here are the Hebrew scriptures, so he's talking about the law of Moses, the prophets, and he says to them, they all point to me. And so there's this great affirmation here that when we look to learn about Jesus, we just don't study the New Testament. We need to go back to the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, for there, and Jesus, it's on Jesus' own lips here, that this is the big picture of what God is doing as God unfolds his salvation to people. to his people. And it's through this, and ultimately the breaking of the bread, that their hope is rekindled, these two. That their hope is reframed. And indeed, they regain their hope. Table hospitality. Luke's gospel is really big on table hospitality and table fellowship. Really significant things happen around a table in Luke's gospel. Jesus many times gathers with people, and because Luke has that beautiful chapter, Luke chapter 15, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son, or the prodigal son. And Jesus tells these three parables because he's been given a hard time by the religious leaders who say to him, you shouldn't be hanging out with the people that you're hanging out with. You shouldn't be meeting with people around the table that you are. Because to do that in those days was to welcome people and as a sign of acceptance of people when you met with them around table. And Jesus was doing this all the time, especially in Luke's gospel. Table fellowship, table hospitality is really, really important. And that's what we get in this account of this journey to Emmaus. It's in the breaking of the bread, and I really like that image that, just flip back to that image, Gemma. Here, and you might not be able to see that too well, but it's they're just gathered around a table, they're sharing a meal. And there's this stunned look by these two followers as they realize who is breaking this bread. Table fellowship, table hospitality is really important. The breaking of the bread that he is known here. And this is what we discover. Luke writes the Acts of the Apostles, and Luke tells us there that this was a normal part of the life of the early church. That in Acts chapter 2, they met, they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles. They cared for each other, they shared in prayer, and they broke bread together in their homes. Now, there's a whole another road we could walk down, pardon the pun, but about the connections with Holy Communion and the Eucharist and all that, because clearly that's what's happening here as well as we read this about the connections with Holy Communion, with the breaking of the bread. But here in the life of the early church, this is what they did. They met together in their homes and they broke bread. They shared in table fellowship, in table hospitality. And I want to encourage you to do that, to continue to do that, to meet together both in, as you do, in ad hoc kind of ways, informal sort of ways, but also encourage you to do that more intentionally, more structured ways as well. That's part of what I mentioned earlier on about this trial of introduction to the Christian faith or whatever it is that we'll look at, that it's really important that we have food at that. Because of hospitality and fellowship. So that will be part of this trial that we do. What's the best way to do that? This is one of the reasons that we gather at one table on a Wednesday morning. And we gather around the table. It's part of table fellowship. And the conversations that we have around that table are different than if I was sitting on the front pew and we were talking to each other. It's something different when we've got food and a coffee or a white tea in front of us. Okay? Table fellowship, table hospitality. And just another practical thing here, and I know some of you are wondering how Carol and Graham's getting on, and I hope we'll see Carol again, but it may be, right, here's just something, it may be that a few of you get together, you pick up Sonia, and you head across and you have lunch with Carolyn. And you'd have to organise it. Most aged care places, you can do that. You can organise, you can contact them and organise to meet for lunch. And at John Wesley Gardens, there's downstairs, there's a cafe area. That may be an option, or just upstairs somewhere. Maybe that might be something. Now, it might be if you do that and you get there, it doesn't quite work out, because sometimes that's the case with anyone that you visit in aged care. Sometimes it's not. Well, if that happens, you just go down to the cafe and you have lunch together. OK? Okay. So I'll just throw that out. Maybe that's something you want to do. Gathering around a table is really important with people. Okay. I want to finish this morning with a reference to Babette's Feast, which I've done previously, but just to touch on something a little different. This is this movie, Babette's Feast, was made back in 1987, I think it was. If watching subtitles in another language is a bit frustrating, no, actually, it is in English. Is it English? I think it is. Can't remember. No, so you know, you need to be prepared just to watch the subtitles there, but it's worth it. It's really worth it. Babette's Feast, the movie is set in a remote Danish village in the late 1800s, in the years following the French Revolution. Okay, so that's in a Danish village. The village is centered on a small, devout church community led by two unmarried sisters, Martine and Philippa. Their lives and the life of the community are marked by simplicity, restraint, and quiet faithfulness. And this is the legacy that's been handed to them from their long deceased father, who was the pastor who started this little community, this little faith community. Over time, though, that faith has grown a bit thin. Old hurts start to fester, and the joy of faith and the joy of community has slowly fallen apart. Now, many years earlier, Martine had once caught the attention of a young army officer called Lawrence. He was drawn to Martine because of her gentleness, but he left knowing that he didn't belong to this really serious, austere kind of world, and he leaves. He chooses, in a sense, his ambition as a soldier over the possibility of love with Martine. He goes on to become a distinguished general. Outwardly, he is very successful, but inwardly, we get this sense that something remains a little unresolved for him. Would that be a fair comment, those who've seen the Babette's Feast, that General Lorenz is, something sort of sits there for him. Into this fragile community comes Babette. And Babette is a French refugee. She's escaping from the fallout of the French Revolution. And she ends up pretty much poor and destitute, and ends up in this little village, and she becomes a servant to these sisters. She lives in their house and she becomes their humble servant. What no one knows is that she was once the head chef at one of the greatest restaurants in Paris, but they don't know that. When she unexpectedly wins a French lottery, which I think her sister or someone back in Paris continues to put a ticket in for her, she unexpectedly wins this lottery. And she makes the extraordinary decision to spend every last cent preparing a single exquisite meal for the sisters and their little congregation. And at the time, they don't realize that she has spent all of her winnings on them. By now, this little church community has become even smaller. They are really polite with each other, but really they're quite fractured. Old arguments hang heavy over them. Relationships are strained. They agree to attend this feast that Babette's putting on, but they do it a little bit reluctantly, and they agree to be polite and that they'll pretend to enjoy the meal, to be polite. Course by course and glass by glass, the meal begins to do its work, not only with them physically in their body, but works its way into their hearts and souls. old grievances begin to loosen their hold, laughter returns, words of kindness are spoken again. And around that table, this community begins to heal. The feast that Babette prepares is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself, but it's a means of moving from this fracture within the community to reconciliation, from resentment to grace. And there is a recognition of that which they once knew and once held dear. And seated among them, lo and behold, is Lorenz, who's now a general, this soldier who Martine once knew all those years ago. As I said, he's now a general. And through the connections and the opportunities that have come his way because of his progression and through becoming a general, he's the one person at the table who recognises what is being shared with them. He's able to name the food, he's able to name the wine, he's able to tell of the skill and the expertise that is shared in front of them. He knows that this is a feast worthy of the finest restaurant in Paris. And in fact, he identifies it as the very restaurant that Babette worked at and was head chef at. Lorenz, who once chose ambition over love, now recognizes as he shares this meal, he recognizes grace when he sees it, when he hears it, and when he tastes it, in fact. And at one point during the meal, he stands up, and in this really beautiful, gentle speech, he gives voice to what the meal itself is doing. He says that grace is not something that we earn, that mercy is freely given, and that what we receive in gratitude can heal what has been long broken. And this is part of his own discovery across a lifetime. And this all happens through them gathering in table fellowship and table hospitality. You see, on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion did not know who was truly present with them. For them, recognition comes not through explanation of the scriptures, though that was a really important part of it. The giver is not fully known, yet everything is given to them. And through a shared meal, a communion between them and the Christ is restored. Fellowship is renewed. And for these two in Emmaus, grace is recognized in the breaking of bread by the risen Jesus. We pray. Lord God, very simply pray that you'll help us along our life's journey to recognize your presence with us. And Lord, any opportunity that we have to gather around table together, help us to be alert to your presence in our midst. As we pray in and through the name of Christ, amen. Jenny's going to play some music, and as we do that, our offering will be received.
We pray. O God of extravagant mercy, with hands outstretched, you have poured out wonder and delight, goodness and beauty and grace. Out of the fullness of your gifts, Lord, we bring these offerings now. Help us to use all we have, remembering you and for the glory of your name, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us begin with a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude. We thank you, Lord, as we come to you this morning with open hearts and minds ready to listen to you in prayer. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this blessed time that we can set aside, so we can set aside the conversations that we replay in our heads about jobs not yet finished, expectations not met, and life many big or small challenges that we are still dealing with. We are sometimes driven to solve tomorrow's problems, today filling our lives with some anxiety. Thank you for this time, O Lord, when we can pause, restore, refuel with your grace and peace. Help us to replace anxiety of what might happen tomorrow with the joy of the moment. Replace inertia with purpose and fear with courage. We thank you for this time when we can celebrate the peace of the Lord being with us. We give thanks because you're always here to walk with us, as you did with the disciples when they too were confused. We give thanks that we are given the gift of Jesus. We give thanks for your guidance and help to actively look for Jesus in everyday moments, in the work we do, perhaps, in the hobbies we pursue, in the quiet moments of our lives. For this we thank you, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, for opening our eyes as you did those of the disciples, so we too welcome and see you in the strangers in our midst, and celebrate the gifts and graces of those who are different from us. We thank you, O Lord, for the good news in the scriptures, which restores our hope. Give us the inspiration, O Lord, to share our personal experience of God's grace in our everyday interactions with others. Thank you, O Lord, for getting us through each day, for the lessons, for the wins, big and small, for the strength we can harness because we have you in our corner. We give you thanks for the assurance that even in our imperfect moments, you are there with us and for us. We give thanks and pray for as they respond to God's calling to follow Christ. Be with them, O Lord. Empower them with the Holy Spirit as they are received into our church, your church. Holy Spirit, empower us to the congregation as we walk with them, learning with them, walking as traveling companions with them in their new journey of faith. We pray for peace and healing of the world, for the world at large. We pray that world leaders practice wisdom and compassion and unity instead of division, fostering a spirit of peace and reconciliation across the world. Let's pray too for the vulnerable in our midst, the underprivileged, the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, the marginalized, and those of us suffering from loneliness, anxiety, fear, illness, and loss. O Lord, give us the courage to feel secure in the knowledge that you are there, walking with us as our traveling companion. Let us now say the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from every evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Father, King this morning is Lord of all hopefulness, and which is a hymn that picks up on all different aspects of life and the day for us. So we'll stand to sing.
There's another opportunity to gather for some meals together. And that's like if you haven't seen Babette's Feast for a while, or you've never seen it, maybe just it's a great opportunity just to get a few people together and say, let's watch it. It's now it's not action-packed Tom Cruise Mission Impossible, okay? So it's fairly quiet, but that's just another opportunity. Say, let's get a few of us together and come and watch it. And just see what it stirs within you. There is no evening tiredness that Christ will not share, no day that can dawn without Christ first being there. There is no road to travel without Christ's guidance, no enemy to face without Christ's grace. There is no joy to celebrate without Christ's laughter, no sorrow to bear without Christ's care. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.